I'll call the second case while you're getting settled. Our second case today is Isaac Cryer. Is that the correct pronunciation? Isaac Cryer versus State of Minnesota, case number A23-1763. Good morning, counsel. As you are both aware, you'll each be getting 15 minutes this morning for your argument, and appellant, you'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Before beginning your argument, if you could state your name and and who you represent for the audio record, since the audio record is what will be put up on the website, we would appreciate it. And with that, counsel for appellant, you may begin.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm Tyler Bliss. I'm here on behalf of my client, Isaac Cryer. We are here on an issue of whether or not the district court abused its discretion in not granting a new trial based on trial counsel's ineffective assistance.
Before you begin, I just want to make sure I understand which counts you're appealing. As I understand it, it's the first two counts of second degree attempted murder.
Well, Your Honor, I think that the problem with the conviction as a whole is because the alternate perpetrator evidence was not pursued, there's no way to disaggregate which shots could have come from the alternate perpetrator.
So as I understand it, it was quite a chaotic scene.
It was a melee, Your Honor.
Yes, a family melee, which made it even more interesting, except for this unknown red Jeep that appeared. So as I understand it, the counts really, as the prosecutor described it at the hearing, there's the, I think it's TR and his 4-year-old daughter are leaving in the car. Your client goes, follows them. Red Jeep comes. There's that attempted second degree murder. But then your client comes back to the apartment complex and there are shots fired at people there. I understood that as kind of two discreet, if you will, close in time sets of facts.
My understanding from viewing the video and reading the transcripts is there are three cars that are somewhat circling, and there was testimony elicited at trial that I think is consistent with what Your Honor is saying. However, because the alternate perpetrator evidence was not pursued, the evidence that the other shots could have come from the red Jeep, which does return back to the scene at least at one point, was never pursued and has never been explored in court.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding your understanding of what happened factually and was presented at trial.
Yes, and I think there is a discrepancy between what the evidence could have shown and what the evidence did show at trial, being limited by the alternate perpetrator, the failure to raise it by trial counsel.
Was there any evidence presented at trial that someone saw shots coming from the red Jeep?
Yes.
Okay. Who saw that?
TR testified at trial that shots came from the red Jeep, one of the alleged victims.
But I thought that was, we'll just call it the first incident and the second incident. I thought that those shots were for the first incident.
Those specific shots were from the first incident.
Maybe let me ask Judge Riley's question in a slightly different way. Is there any testimony in the record that the Jeep was involved in shots with respect to the apartment? Did anybody testify that the red Jeep came out in front of the apartment?
No.
Okay.
It is my belief if that defense was raised at trial, such evidence could have been elicited.
I just wanted to make sure, like, your argument is the testimony would have come in differently. With respect to the apartment incident specifically, the evidence would have come in differently if the alternative perpetrator theory had been raised, and because it wasn't, that the testimony came in a different way, and that's how your client has been impacted. Even though testimony came in about the Jeep, evidence came in about the Jeep, that it would have, the way the testimony would have come in, what had been elicited would have been different if it was under an alternative perpetrator theory as opposed to beyond a reasonable doubt theory.
Well,
I just want to make sure that I'm understanding that.
I think that in addition to that, my client certainly is impacted as to the first two counts, where the shots could have been fired into TR's vehicle by the red Jeep. And TR testifies that shots were fired at the red Jeep, or by the red Jeep at his vehicle. But it was not raised as an alternative perpetrator defense at trial as to those counts.
And you can, please excuse my, what would have been the benefit of having this evidence brought in as an alternative perpetrator theory as opposed to the way that this came, right? The way I read the testimony from the post-conviction hearing is that this evidence came in that they didn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt because there's evidence that some of these shots came from the red Jeep. What would have been the advantage to your client of it coming in under an alternative perpetrator theory as opposed to the strategy that counsel used in this case? So I understand you dispute that was a strategy, but...
In those counts, the shots that were fired into the vehicle of TR and his 4-year-old daughter, the jury heard that my client was firing a gun at a 4-year-old. That is a very different offense than the other shots that are alleged to have occurred here. It shows a different kind of intent, and it's deep. It's much more visceral in its impact. A failure to disaggregate those led to the jury throwing it all together, only hearing evidence that there was this one individual who had an intent to commit this crime, and all of these shots were fired. By not having any method of disaggregating that, I think that he was prejudiced throughout by the failure to raise that defense.
So it's the disaggregation that you think has prejudiced your client.
Well, I mean, it's not just the disaggregation. For the counts that TR testified could have been fired by the red Jeep, I think that it's just purely ineffective assistance of counsel to fail to raise that. I also think that in terms of those being the controlling sentencing counts here, firing into a car with a 4-year-old is inherently going to be a more serious crime in the eyes of a sentencing judge than any of the other offenses here.
Can I want to shift it a little bit. So you relied on State v. Nix,
yes,
to support your argument. The district court disagreed with you on how applicable that case was. Why is the district court wrong in its analysis?
Your Honor, I believe that State v. Nix stands for the proposition that if counsel is pursuing a defense, then it becomes reviewable that they didn't do something consistent with that trial strategy. I think that the district court thought that the holding was more narrow and applied to the admittedly somewhat different procedural posture or sort of issue presented in Nix. I believe that this is an issue where justice requires that if a defense attorney is pursuing a strategy and there is a clear path for pursuing that strategy. It isn't trial strategy to not use the basic tools of the criminal justice system to do that.
But he testified under oath that he didn't think he could make the threshold hearing, the threshold, required threshold showing. And that's why, well, and that sounds like trial strategy to me. And I mean, this is just my impression. It was like he knew he probably couldn't get the alternative perpetrator theory going because he couldn't make the threshold showing, but he could still use the red Jeep because there was testimony about a red Jeep. So in effect, he was trying to have his cake and eat it too, which is a strategy, and based on the facts, seems like a good one. Now, it didn't work. You know, some strategies work, some strategies don't, but that seems to be very different from Nick's, where, you know, he knew the phone records were good, got the subpoena, and then just didn't look at them. I mean, yeah, that seems that seems ineffective assistance of counsel, because why did you ask them in the first place? And you know, most of us, you know, review the documents in response to a subpoena. But here, this seems very different. Why am I wrong?
Because I think that trial counsel was believed that he had to name names for these alternative perpetrators, which he did not need to do. He needed to say there were two people in this red Jeep. The red Jeep was firing gunshots at this vehicle and possibly everywhere else. I can't name them because the police didn't pursue them as suspects. He had everything necessary to make the showing of an alternate perpetrator, even if he didn't have the names. I think he acted in error by believing he had to, you know, identify the witnesses individually. And I would, if there are no other questions, I would cede my time.
Thank you, counsel. You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Counsel for respondent, this might be 2 weeks in a row in front of our panel.
It's the same panel. Good morning, may it please the court. I am Assistant Ramsey County Attorney Alexandra Meyer, and I represent respondent State of Minnesota. Appellant received an evidentiary hearing. Judge Harris, the judge who presided over appellant's trial, considered the evidence presented at that hearing, including the testimony of trial counsel. After hearing the evidence, Judge Harris denied the post-conviction petition, finding that counsel's decision to forego an alternative perpetrator defense was unreviewable trial strategy and did not meet either of the Strickland prongs. That ruling was not an abuse of Judge Harris's discretion, as I explain more fully in my brief. I would rely on the arguments contained in my brief, and I have no additional general comments. I am happy to take the panel's questions.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel for appellant, would you like to come back up?
I will certainly stand up, but unless the court has further questions, I would rest.
I don't.
Oh. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.